It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week for the babble and banter that we go about. But Barbecue Bob, again, on hiatus this time, a little somber note. He has a brother that is in hospice down in Florida. So Bob went down to see him. Our thoughts and prayers are with Bob and his family. But anyway, so sitting in a chair beside me is the baritone of beer, Chaz Thompson.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, and it's good to be back. Chaz, you've been a dutiful servant these last few months. Bob has been out with a variety of issues, and you've always been willing and able to set in. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate
it. Yeah, man, it's a good time.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about spring has sprung. I don't know about your house, but around mine, you get some nights that it's 28, and then the next night it's 68. And it's about only a day or two apart. It's kind of weird, but that's spring in Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So as a part of that, it's mushroom season. You know what? This is the time of year, and I only have one guy in the world that knows fungus among us, and that's a guy named Brad Ensing, and he's from Garrett's Appliance. Well, they're our official grill supplier for the Grilling Guys, but this guy is the mushroom man. So now on the live line, we've got Brad. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing really good. Thanks. So go ahead, man.
No, oh, excellent. Hey, I'm sorry that Bob's not able to join us today, but glad to have you both in the studios today and taking some time to talk about this amazing spring weather we're starting to hit. Hopefully no more snow, but we do live in the state of Michigan, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. This is, it's end of April, early May, so yeah, you're right. Anything can happen here for probably even a whole nother month, but what is happening, Brad, is that I'm hearing, I've not been out yet, but I know you probably have. It's mushroom season, right?
It is. Well, we'll teasingly say it's mushroom season all year long. However, the good old guys that love morels, the time of year has hit where people that don't normally go out in the woods looking for stuff are going out in droves trying to find Morchella mushrooms or the morel mushrooms. So I have seen quite a few people posting on Facebook. Quite a few of the blogs are out there starting to hit them. And I've been out a little bit. I haven't run too much into the morels as of yet, but I am still harvesting and foraging for a bunch of other things that are in the woods this time of the year. And the fresh air and the greens are starting to pop up, so it's a beautiful time to be out there doing it.
Yeah, it sure is. So for those people that don't know, are there good mushrooms and bad mushrooms in the woods?
Absolutely. So I had put up actually a Facebook post yesterday and got some concerned comments on it. So when we get to the morels of Michigan, which is, of course, the most popular one, there are actually eight different types of common morels that we find in Michigan. The ones that most people are going on hunting, there's basically five of them. There's three Morchella species, which would be your normal morels, and then there's also two Verpa species, which are a little bit not as often found around here. But there are also three species called Gyromitra, and I know they don't really have a lot of common names, but some people will call them beefsteak or calf's brain mushroom. And of those three, one of them is considered a toxic mushroom, and the other two do have those same toxins in them, but if they're prepared properly, they can be eaten. And actually, last night, I actually had some Gyromitra corphi, which is one of those mushrooms. Now, I would not recommend this to any viewers unless you know what you're doing, but there are some major differences between those three that are considered to have toxins in them. And that being said, actually, most people don't know that all the morel mushrooms have the same toxin in them, but it's just in such a small amount that unless you're trying to eat them raw, which you should never do with a mushroom that you're foraging for, they should always be cooked thoroughly, but those can do some damage to you as well.
So, Brad, this is Chaz. A rule of thumb, if you were to just give out a simple tip to somebody that just, hey, I've got some woods in the back and I want to go hunting, what's the best way to be safe about it?
Yep. So number one is if you find a bunch of what you think are morels, what I need you to do is get on to Facebook and message me, and I'll come over to your house and I'll pick them for you. In all seriousness, there are so many books, online, Facebook resources that a normal morel, if you were to pick a normal morel, number one, it's going to have a stem on it, and it's going to be hollow, and it's hollow up the entire mushroom. When you get to that Gyromitra species, they are going to be really a lot wider, really short stems on them. Sometimes those stems will be an off color. They'll still smell good. If you start cooking them, they'll smell delicious, but they actually contain something in them called gyromitrin, which is basically the breakdown would be like rocket fuel for a spaceship. So if you ingest it into your body, it's not going to be very good for you. So first thing is doing the normal morels, if you pick one, and if it's got a hollow stem all the way up, not fibrous in any way, shape, or form, but a hollow stem all the way up into the body of the mushroom, you're pretty good at figuring you actually have a morel mushroom. Okay. Now, that being said, a lot of people just talk about morels this time of year, but there are so many other amazing things. If you guys have never eaten wild leeks, also called ramps, they are in abundance right now, and they're kind of a mix of garlic and oniony. It's a green leafy. I throw them on the grill a lot. I'll actually dice them up and saute them with mushrooms, and I actually make a compound ramp butter that my daughters even love it when I use it to make their macaroni and cheese because it's got such a distinct flavor. Dead nettle, another one out there right now. Dandelions. Dandelions edible.
I have plenty of those in my yard.
Now, that being said, too, if you're ever picking dandelions or any mushrooms, be careful if you're picking them out of your yard, because if you're spraying pesticides or throwing down lawn fertilizer, those are mushrooms I would not eat.
Right. You know, so I just have to comment that you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're always trying to ramp up your grilling game. Right? So here we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Job in the low hanging fruit. Right.
Exactly. Well, and not only that, you know, again, morels being the big thing right now, but there's a bunch of what's called dryad saddle out there, also called pheasant back, which is a great mushroom. It's more of a shelf mushroom, and it smells like watermelon rind or kind of cucumbers. And golden oysters are out right now, too. And those are all safe, great eating mushrooms if you're, you know, cooking them thoroughly, and that is the big thing, is making sure that if you're going to harvest something from outside, make sure you're cleaning it, make sure you're looking for bugs, clean out that dirt off them, and make sure you're cooking them thoroughly.
So Brad, the morel is the holy grail of most commoners like me. Where do you find those? I'm not looking for a geographic, but I'm looking for type of terrain, type of woods. Where are you going to look for those that you're most likely to find them?
Yep, so when we get to the Morchella mushrooms and the Verpa, which would be your morel mushrooms, normally you're going to be looking in a mixed hardwood forest. They tend to like elm trees, and especially if an elm tree is starting to die or is dead. Fungus, which the Morchella or the morel mushroom is, they have a symbiotic relationship that they share back and forth with these trees. And when these trees are starting to die, they give the mushroom the proper nutrients, especially the Morchella mushroom, the proper nutrients to properly grow. Now, that being said, apple orchards was another good one. They tend to like growing around apple orchards. However, you have to be very careful because apple trees have always been treated so much. A lot of those pesticides and chemicals get in the ground and make those areas very tough to safely harvest a mushroom without the chance of putting some sort of toxicity into your body. But, I'm sorry, there's lots of buts when it comes to mushrooms, and there's no perfect rule of hand here.
So kind of wrapping this up, it's an idea that if you get the mushroom idea on the internet, once you got it, clean it. Just like everything
clean
that you're going to eat,
clean it
real well.
And cook it well. Exactly.
And cook it. So I'm going to get out the cast iron. I'm going to get some butter and some venison. And we're going to get that ready and splash some eggs maybe?
Absolutely. I've done them in souffles. I've done them in, I really like ramps again, or wild leeks. In the good old, any type of egg dish. My wife loves doing those in egg dishes. And again, I'm just all about going out, and it makes much more fun when you're harvesting your own food.
Yeah, you got me ready to go out, and Jop and I are going to go wander out in the woods and see what we can find to eat.
Hey, Brad, always,
just make sure you call me.
A wealth of information, my friend. Thanks for making time, and we appreciate you giving us a call. And take care, and good hunting.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right. Brad Ensing, more than you ever want to know about a mushroom, but the guy is a wealth of knowledge. Another spring and sprung item, Cinco de Mayo's coming up next week. We're going to chat a little bit about that. Stick with us.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Talk Network. Once again, Barbecue Bob's out. So Chaz, the baritone of beer, is sitting beside me. And we've been talking a little bit about spring is sprung. And the next thing that's coming, I thought it was going to be Cinco de Mayo, but Chaz, you corrected me. It's not.
Star Wars Day is Tuesday. It's May the 4th be with you.
Ah, there we go. So, you know.
See, you're not the only one with puns.
Right. Exactly. But Cinco de Mayo is, as it turns out, kind of an Americanized.
It's a Corona holiday.
Yeah, right. Mexican holiday. They don't really care too much about it. They're on.
No, I think Corona Beer came up with it.
Right, yeah, because, you know, their study of this thing is the Battle of Pueblo Day, right? Well, who wants to, you know, reconnect with a battle that was in 1862?
And I'm not sure that the Mexicans won.
Yeah, right. Well, it says that, you know, I'm reading now, it was a historic triumph of the indigenous Mexican people over the European invaders and symbolizes power and strength in the Mexican culture. All right. Well, yeah. To us, it symbolizes beer and great Mexican food in the West Michigan culture. So wanted to talk a little bit about that. But I got a question for you. You know beer better than anybody I know. So there are Mexican styles of beer. You know, you see your, what is it, Tecate and the Modelos and the Coronas. What is that all about? What
makes a
Mexican
beer? A lot of them are corn-based lagers.
Okay.
Barley doesn't grow real good in Mexico.
Okay.
But corn does.
Right.
Especially in some of the more fertile areas and stuff. Not out in the desert portions.
Right.
But corn and maize and things like that are more with it. And a lot of the German brewmeisters, when they were migrating out over the world, found out Mexico's a nice warm climate. It's better than the snowy Alps.
Right.
So they settled down there and they found water that was good for lagering. And also some caves that helped with the temperature control you needed for the fermentation of a lager.
Okay.
So thus was born these corn-based lagers that are very light. Now, modern ones are super light compared to what they used to be, but they're very low in hops. And so as Americans, we kind of like them and associate them with warm weather and sunny and beaches and things. Because when we go to Mexico, we don't go to watch them harvest the agave. We go to hang out on their beach and go scuba diving in their ocean.
Right, right, exactly. So why is it that there's always like a slice of citrus in one of those. Generally a lime. I've seen people do it with a lemon too. But I mean, it's just because there's a lot of citrus down there too. Or?
It's one of those things like the Cinco de Mayo story. There's a lot of urban legend with it and stuff. A lot of Americans believe that it's the citrus that helps you digest it a little better and make it taste a little better. A lot of the guys back in the 50s and 60s will tell you that they use that acidic nature of the lime to clean the bottle top because Mexican bottles used to be recycled all the time. They just wash them out, fill them back up with beer. Well, you know what they say about Mexican water. So
right, yep.
Everybody wanted a little more sterilization with it. Now it's just kind of become a cultural thing that people associate squeezing lime on Mexican food.
Right.
So why not put it in the beer as well?
Right.
But for every story you got, there'll be 10 people to debunk it and sure. Four more urban legends to go with it.
Yeah. Yep. So do you prefer lime in yours or not so much?
Well, it depends. If I'm out running around the backwoods of Mexico and stuff where they don't have the greatest refrigeration and cleanliness and stuff
right.
and places you don't get ice in your drinks, yeah, I put some lime on mine.
Yeah.
And being a good pirate, I like to prevent scurvy as
well.
Well,
there you are. That's, you're doing your public service right there. That's cool stuff. So speaking of lime, I had some fish tacos the other day.
Oh, they're one of my favorites.
At a place called the Blue Dog
yep.
here in Grand Rapids. It's a little neighborhood bar, wonderful place. And they had mahi-mahi fish tacos on their menu. So I ordered them for lunchtime. And it came with what they called a lime crema.
Yeah.
And but before I get to that, I know that you make fish tacos. What kind of fish do you make them out of? What kind of seasonings do you use? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Here in Michigan, I'm using crappie because
right.
you know me. I catch crappie and bluegill all the time. And really what you want is you want a light, flaky fish. You don't want to use something big and heavy like salmon. But you get down there in the Yucatan, they use a lot of red snapper. They'll use the mahi-mahi and different ocean fishes that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Around the Yucatan, there's no such thing as a breaded fish taco.
Right.
That's more of a California Baja thing.
Okay.
And that was because somebody had a lot of day-old fish that they wanted to dip in batter and sell to some
surfers. Camouflage a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So there's the two different schools of thought, breaded or not breaded. Breaded,
right.
you typically get a little crispy, and then you're looking for something like a salsa or a crema to put on top.
Right.
But with a unbreaded, just a flash sautéed garlic, oil, peppers, onions, things like that, you're going to just go with maybe a little pico.
Yep. These had a little bite to them. And I think it was from the crema because I had them put it on the side,
yep.
but it wasn't on the side long. I'm going to tell you that because after I had the first bite of it, it's like, wow, this is good. So I looked up a recipe, right? I've never made lime crema in my life, but I thought, you know what? It was such a great accompaniment with that fish taco. So it's real simple. You've got about twice as much sour cream as you do mayonnaise. Okay, so, if you got a quarter cup, it's like 3 tablespoons, just enough for a serving, right? And then you put in some fresh lime juice, a zest of lime, and then a little of this tajin is what it's called.
Okay,
it's a Mexican spice that has a little bit of salt in it and a little bit more lime, and then a little bit of cumin just to heat it up a little bit.
So if you can't find that,
right.
hit it with some adobo.
Right, exactly. Either one of those will work fine. But that's it. Just mix it up. It's a dip consistency, if you will, but it's a side, and it was awesome on top of those fish tacos.
So just to break it down, it's lime mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you're going to put it on top of your fish taco.
Right.
Maybe a little cilantro, a little onion.
Right.
Bing, bada, boom.
Yeah, exactly. Later in the show, I want to talk about pico de gallo because that and your margarita corn. Because both of those I've had from you before, and they're awesome. But another dish that's Cinco de Mayo to me, and it's so easy because you can make it in any kind of quantity, and that's fajitas.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's a grilled item in my world. I might put it on a flat top grill just because I want it a little bit crispy, maybe on the edges of. Now you can use beef, you can use chicken, but I'm going to cut across the grain on the beef. Come across the chicken breast and get thin strips of it. We've all had fajitas, right? I mean, there's no secret here. Bell peppers? And what else would you have in your fajita mix?
I'm going to skip the bell peppers. I'm going to go to the jalapenos
right?
shaved.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with some really nice white onion.
Oh, yeah.
And there. And that's going to go in mine. Now, maybe some mushrooms.
right?
I like to throw the champignons, as they say in Spanish.
Yeah, right.
Down with those as well, and it is just such a great hand food.
Right.
To be able to assemble it yourself.
Now, our friends at Old World Olive Company sell a, I'm back on this lime, but they sell a lime olive oil. And what I do on the flat top or in a skillet, which just takes it over the top for me, is I'll brush some of that on my tortilla and get it in a really hot skillet, and it'll bubble up on one side. Flip it over, it'll bubble up on the other. And it just makes that flour tortilla a little more firm. But that cooked lime into that tortilla, just a great bite, man.
We talked a couple of weeks ago about getting that flat top out and put it on top of your grill, whether it's cast iron or just a big pan.
Right. It's awesome.
Give you some versatility in the backyard. Make a mess.
Yeah.
Enjoy the weather.
Well, hey, get out there in your backyard, create a little grill envy, and you know what? Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo. Coming up next, we're going to talk about something else that my buddy Chaz knows all about, is an herb garden and a beer garden. Maybe it's one and the same in your backyard. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and spring has sprung where I am, so we're talking a little bit about that. Chaz, once again, you're my baritone of beer. You're the dude that I go to when I need to know something about beer. And this is a time of year when, you know, I'm not doing the porters anymore. I'm not doing the stouts anymore. And my palate's starting to turn toward these summer beers. What does that really mean? I mean, what's happening with me, man?
To most people, when they get into thinking summer, they think of a lighter product.
Okay.
Whether it's lighter in color or actually lighter in body as well. And some of us are working on our swimsuit bodies.
Well,
some
there you go. Right.
Lighter in calories. And that's become quite the trend lately, even in craft beers, is that these guys are coming out with these lower cal beers because the market's looking for them. But typically, you're going to be starting to talk about maybe some pilsners. You're going to talk about some light lagers, things like that, that are going to be a little more quaffable. You know, mm-hmm. you can drink them without getting the full meal feel out of them.
Are those typically called session beers?
Well, session beers usually refer to the lower alcohol, and that's because you and I have long stories, and we need to drink six or eight to get through those stories. But session beer is just about the low alcohol, but a session can also apply in those lighters. But you're typically in a summer beer, people are thinking lighter, maybe even getting into the fruitiness as we start to get into June and July when we've got some fresh fruit popping up, you know.
Right.
The shandy and things like that are still real popular when you're trying to cut the heat.
Right.
And maybe don't need all that alcohol because, hey, we're starting to work out in the backyard, sweating it up a little bit.
Right.
Don't need everything going to your head while you're trying to still get some yard work done.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny that you said that, because one of the rites of spring in Michigan anyway is a Oberon. I just like their beer. I can't drink a bunch of them, but I like one ice cold in the, you know, it's kind of like, okay, summer's arrived. You start seeing it in the store. And was doing that. I'm putting an addition on my deck, right? And it was this past weekend, and it was warm. And I had my godson over, and he's a big strapping dude, and I was going to use him while he was there, right? Because we had to knock this stuff out. And so we're working our butts off, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, man, you want a beer? He's like, yeah, I'll have a beer. So he's 27 years old. You know, he's 6'3", weighs 200 pounds, and he's solid muscle. And I hand it to him. We drink one. I'm drinking one, and I'm just sitting there, you know, working away. And he stood up. Like, he was bent over putting some decking down. He stood up. He's like, wow. He goes, that hit me. He goes, I guess I haven't eaten enough or something. But he said, I had one Oberon, and it kind of, he says, I can feel it. You know, so there to your point.
Yeah, one of the things a wise guy once told me, he says, don't hydrate with beer. Drink some water and enjoy your beer, because water's free out of the faucet.
Right.
Don't waste money on trying to quench your thirst.
Right.
Enjoy yourself with beer, because somebody worked hard to make a really great product.
Absolutely.
Now, I hear you're also in that backyard garden going to take my idea and put in some herbs.
Yeah, you know what? And I need your advice on that, because I think I'm a little behind the eight ball. I'm just building out my grill area on my deck, and there are going to be a couple of them installed, but I've got fencing that's to the south, faces to the south and to the west. So I figured, hey, what a cool thing that I'm going to put in little boxes hanging off my fence.
Sure, little hanging planter boxes.
There are planter boxes, and I want to grow herbs right by my grill station so that I can pick those off. So if that's the case, what would you grow?
Well, since we're talking Cinco de Mayo this week, right. Show, cilantro is one of those big things. And just taking a pair of shears when the cilantro is growing it, giving them a trim, taking what you need into the cutting board and using it, that cilantro just keeps coming back. It's great. Other ones that you use in grilling all the time. You just think down through your recipe list.
Right.
And you got the rosemary, you got the thyme.
Right. I've got chives that are there. It's almost impossible to kill those things once you get those things going.
And a lot of the chefs will tell you just take your shears out and you cut what you need, kind of give them a haircut, get it back, and then bang, you've got fresh ones to put right on the cutting board. If you've got some rosemary, those rosemary sprigs can actually make mini skewers.
Oh,
using the sprig itself. Thyme for something that's a little lighter, maybe not a protein, but maybe a vegetable or something mm-hmm. that you can feed it through. Thyme through mushrooms. If you get a good stalk, you can use that. But even stripping the fruit off them or the little leaves and chopping that up to put it into your marinade, into your seasonings that you're going to use. Even just flavoring an oil with it, maybe you didn't have time to run over to Old World.
Right.
And you got a little tiny cast iron. You know that tiny cast iron?
Right,
that somebody
like
gave
for an
you?
Egg, right? Yeah.
And it's just too small for anything to be useful?
Right.
Put oil in it. Put some herbs in it. Put some garlic in it.
And let them sit there for an hour before you start cooking.
Now, garlic is another one that you should consider, because garlic, when it's growing, smells very good, and it also repels mosquitoes.
Well, there we go.
Now, also...
And also my wife, when I want to kiss her after I've eaten a bunch of it.
Yeah. If you don't eat it, then it's a different thing, you know? And there are those man days.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I told her I just kept demons away, and she's like, well, that's why you're not kissing me, dude. Right?
But, there's all these great varieties of garlic out there, and I know people that plant them all the way around their decks, just to help cut down on the insect population.
Wow, really cool idea. Dual purpose.
Yeah, it's just great. And they give that nice floral garlic flavor in the air.
Garlic actually flowers too, I think.
Yeah, and if you let it flower and seed out some of it, it's coming back next year, baby. It's going to be like them chives and that rosemary that are going to be just perpetual every year. Now, you mentioned you were a little behind the eight ball and getting it going. I started mine indoors from seed back in early February.
Yeah.
But now you can go to the greenhouses. You know, everybody's starting up, open up the greenhouses and they have an herb section to where you can buy just, if you're talking a planter box, just go buy that little six-pack container of roots that are 3-4 inches tall. Or sometimes they're just in a little pot, and pop that into your planter box.
Right.
and you're off and you're running.
Right. Now, depending on what direction that your boxes are facing, you may or may not want some of these things in direct sun. Just make sure that you look at the little tab that comes with it. You know, you probably looked at your seed packet.
Direct sun, you can really worry about that if you've got no shade at all. But if it's going to be one of those areas where part of the day that area is shaded and part of it's sunshine, you're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Another thing at my house I got to worry about is the wind.
Yeah.
Because I'm right there so close to the M6, we always have a breeze, and young plants don't always go for that.
Right.
So hanging them a couple of feet down on your fence is probably a really great idea for that.
Yep.
And those things look great and smell great while they're... So the wife will probably like the smell of them while they're growing.
Right, exactly. And it was just to pretty it up a little bit, but it's also functional. And that's why I wanted to do it, because I thought it'd be kind of cool. So... We talked a little bit about Cinco de Mayo. In the next segment, I'm going to have you do your Pico de Gallo on Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, okay, it all rhymes. But at the end of the day, these herbs and growing them, having access right there, you're really upping your game in your neighborhood if you've got fresh herbs.
Yeah, because the dried out stuff that you might get at the market is dried out.
Right, exactly.
Let's get fresh. Let's get it with all the oils and natural juices in it and everything, and get the full benefit.
You know, the basil is another one.
Leaves.
Yep, that is really, they're very, very fragrant, and especially after you pop them off the stem, they get super fragrant, and you dice those up, and those go on
I've actually made a basil beer.
Oh, have you really?
Oh, it was good.
Really? Wow, I didn't have that one, but hey, you know what? There's always tomorrow. We can get one. But so coming up next, you know what? Spring has sprung, and we're going to go fishing. Maybe we talked a little bit about fish tacos, but trout and walleye season opened this last weekend, and so we'll touch on that when we get back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Sitting in with me is Chaz Thompson, the Baritone of Beer. And we're talking a little bit about everything that's so cool about our spring here in Michigan. I'm building a deck, and we just talked a little bit about putting a little herb garden on my fence, just little hanging planters that are there. I can't wait to get that going, Chaz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now it's time to talk about fish on.
That it is, man. And Chaz, if you guys don't know this, Chaz is an international fisherman. And what I mean by that is he travels the world ice fishing on that hard water, but knows a thing or two about freshwater fishing.
Yeah, been out doing a little walleye.
Yeah, yep. So let's talk a little bit about that, because it's usually the last weekend in April, which was last weekend, not today, because we were on May 1 already. Last weekend, the trout season opened, and tell us about it.
Hey, you know, we were out getting some walleye. We were doing a little bottom bouncing in the river, you know, hard bottom where the walleye are down there, and they're just kind of finishing up the spawn. So we're just bouncing jigs down through there, and if they're hungry, they're hitting on them.
River were you on?
I was down on the Detroit.
Yeah, big, big walleye fishery there.
Yep, and thousands of boats. It was
So they were in then.
They all get in line, and they all kind of drift together, and, you know, it's what we used to call combat fishing, because you might only be 2-3 feet apart from another boat, but since you're jigging straight down, you don't have to worry about too many lines getting crossed.
So you don't get caught up much? I mean, there's not all those old fords on the bottom of the river that you're getting
snagged on?
They cleaned
out most of the old fords and such, but there are some sticks and debris and stuff. You get a snag here,
right?
Then.
Yep.
But that just calls for another trip to Cabela's or
Allen Bob's
Brenner's or wherever you're going to go to buy your gear.
Yep.
And you get to go shopping, which is a big deal for us guys. Yeah. You know, you go to the sporting goods store.
Right.
But yeah, we got a few walleye, and then we got them up, and we did a little tailgating, just cleaning them right on the tailgate of the truck. And what my good buddy Steph brought, he brought one of these new Brookstone grills.
Oh, yeah.
Little 22-inch propane fired on the tailgate of his brother's truck. And just real quick, oil, herbs, and walleye.
Wow. You can't beat fresh walleye, man. There's not, in my opinion, there's not a better fish on earth than a fresh walleye.
And we started it out the right way.
Right.
With a little, the cheeks.
Right.
Dipping those walleye cheeks right out of the face.
So people like, what is the cheek? If you've ever cleaned a bigger walleye, there's a spot right behind the eye on the cheek of the fish that's got a little medallion of meat, and it's super tender, right?
And sweet.
Right. Yeah. So that's good. You know, the first guy that ever showed me that was a guy, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention him, is Captain Ken. He's an alumni brother of yours, and he's over in
Augray,
and he runs a walleye charter. It's called.
Well, he's retired now, but he still takes his friends
right,
out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Jireh, G-I-R-E-H, and J-I-R-E-H, excuse me. And I think if you called him, he'd work you in. But I've been there many, many years. And that man can put you on walleyes, too. And that was the first guy I saw him taking those cheeks out of there. I'm like, what is he doing? And then we ate them, and it was like, holy cow, those are good.
It's a real good friend that shares walleye cheeks.
Yeah,
The guy cleaning them puts those off in a separate pile. Those are, you know, the guy that cleaned the fish's treats.
Right, yeah, but he
does
that.
But those are great. But then also the trout opener, you know. We were working up deer camp and stuff, and I was up there on Sunday. And the guys are walking right down the Butterfield River, and they're catching a few.
Browns, yeah.
They were getting browns and a little bit of rainbows.
Okay.
They were just pulling out some nice little tasty ones, but you grill those
right,
quite often,
I do,
don't you?
And it's a simple recipe, but it's a really, really good one in that when you clean a trout, some people leave the head on, I don't. But you don't skin a trout. You don't scale a trout. You just leave it whole. Obviously, you've taken the innards out. And clean it all out. And then that fish is going to be very, very pink when you do that. So that's not bad. That's normal. But open up the inside. I'll put a couple pats of butter in there. And then I'll take a couple slices, thin slices of lemon. And this is on the inside of
the body cavity,
in the body cavity. And then what I'm going to do is take some of those herbs that we talked about in the last segment, maybe some of that basil, a little bit of thyme, maybe some rosemary, whatever your flavor profile is you like. And no salt and pepper, though. I stay away from that because the fish is so delicate, you can overpower it with salt in a heartbeat. So put that in there, and then I'll lay it on the grill. Right, but I put a little oil on the outside because I don't want it to stick. It's a very mild fish. The oil is not for the taste. You're not going to eat the skin, right? You're going to, but
it's for no stick.
Right, it's for no stick. That's exactly right. So put a little bit on each side. You're going to see that meat start to flake up a little bit and get translucent.
And you're not cooking this like a steak. We're not going full bore here.
Right.
This
Thank
is
you.
Light fire.
Thank you. Light fire on one side. You only flip it once because you don't want to keep handling this because
it'll
fall apart.
Just kind of roll him over on his back.
Right. Yeah.
I cut the dorsal fin off.
Right.
Just so that it rolls real easy.
Right. So you'll know when this is done when it starts to flake. And if you've done this right, up by the head of the fish where the cavity starts, the backbone is thicker. Right? And you grab that with your finger once it's cooked, and you just start pulling with a little bit of tension. Don't get aggressive, but just a little bit of tension. And that whole, remember when you watch cartoons and the cat was always eating the bones of a fish, right? That's what'll come out of that, and then you've got just pure meat. And you'll know if it's done because you can grab a hold of that, and as you pull it out, the fish will just flake away from the bones, and you've got the little carcass, and you've got some great eating.
Now, to that point, I do that over on the platter.
Yes. Not on the grill.
Get it off the grill.
Yeah, thank you.
That we don't want to lose anything.
That's right. That's a hot tip right there. So, you don't do that on the grill because you'll burn your hand,
too. Now, if it doesn't pull out, real simple and easy, another thing you can do is just take two forks, lay back the skin, and just flake the meat off with a fork.
Right. Very good point.
And, you know, if you don't have your game up and you're in front of people, you might want to go a little more conservative with that.
Right, yeah. That's not the thing you're going to do the first time you ever cook one, because I guarantee you you're not going to get it right where you want it the first time you do it.
And if you watch the French chefs on YouTube,
right,
they're going to show you the fork method.
Right.
If you find that outdoorsy guy that never talks in his cooking video, that he's cooking by the stream side, he's the guy that grabs that thing, uses a little jerk, and out comes the whole skeleton.
Right. Yep. And it's just kind of cool. You know, that's just one indicator to me that I did it right. You know, and it doesn't happen every time. I mean, I'm be the
it's
first
to
admit it. It's
a great thing to aspire to.
There you go. That's exactly it. But
it's like getting those check marks on your steak at exactly 90 degrees.
Right, 10 and 2, baby. Yep, flip it over. But it's one of those things where, you know, if you're into it, it's a next level thing. Right?
Now, we talked about that creme earlier.
Right.
And a lot of times I like to mix up a little bit of a mayo and herb aioli kind of thing to go on the side with that trout.
Yeah. Yep. It's short of tartar sauce, but
yeah,
it's
you
still
don't want the pickle in it and stuff like that. Yeah. But just a little bit of herb mayo makes a really nice thing to just put that off the side. And also those trouts, if you are flaking it off like that, putting a fresh green salad together with some early greens, if your garden's producing it, or you can get it at the market, and using that to top it. Yeah. Big good show.
Yeah, good show, great eating. So coming up next, we're going to bring the train to the station. Chad's going to talk a little margarita corn. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Jop, since Bob's not here, I'm going to handle man law today.
All right.
And we got one that it's a little touch out to Bob.
Now you're a man! A man! Now you're a man! A man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Right thing and spend time with the people in your life that matter. You never know when you won't have the chance again.
That's right. Barbecue Bob is visiting his brother who is nearing the end of his life down in Florida. So he's not here today, and our thoughts and prayers are out with Bob and his family. Chaz, I appreciate you sitting in. And we talked a little bit about this whole show has been about spring has sprung. We covered Cinco de Mayo. But there's something that I've only ever eaten off of your grill, and it was a grilled margarita corn. And I just thought, you know what? You can get the California stuff this time of year, right? Corn on the cob. It's coming out of Florida or California, wherever it is.
Wherever you get it,
right?
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about that, because that's just damn good.
Grilled corn is one of those things I love to do. You know, fresh, sweet corn, it's time to do it.
Husk on or husk off?
Husk on.
Right.
Grandma taught me, soak it in salt water to get the extra proteins to get out of it.
Okay.
So if you got any bugs or critters or something, they're going to evacuate with that salt water. Plus, you're hydrating the husk and getting a lot of moisture in there. Put it on the grill, and I'm going to grill it, you know, over a medium heat until that other husk is charred. And what it's going to do is it's going to steam the corn perfectly inside the husk there. Then I grab a welding glove.
Right.
And
it's hot, right?
Oh, yeah. And I pull it off at the butt end there.
Right.
And I shuck it back. Now, one of the things that you can tell it's done is because it's steamed perfectly, all the silk will just tug with your other hand right out and come just no sweat at all right out. And you know it's done. Then you can shuck back the rest of it, take a chef's knife, clip off the husk part and everything else. Now, to make it margarita corn, what I do is I mix tequila and butter and salt in a little bit of thing, melt it down.
How can that be wrong?
Melt it all down and kind of baste it. And what I like to do is cut them into like 3-inch, 4-inch lengths.
Right.
Party cut, I call it. And right. put them in a big bowl. And then take the rest of that tequila butter and just drizzle it all over the rest of the top of it. People won't eat a second whole ear of corn, but they'll eat five of those short ones.
That's exactly it, man. So that's great.
It's a great festive thing to do.
Right.
You put that with the pico, and pico's just nothing more than a little chopped onion, chopped tomato, cilantro. And when you use the onion, use a spicy onion.
Right.
Maybe if you like it, throw a little bit of jalapeno, fine diced in there.
Right.
And mix it up fresh, real fresh. And it really goes back to what we talked about a couple of months ago, a good sharp knife.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing wrong. You got to have a sharp knife if you're doing any of this stuff. But, hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Come see us next weekend down in Allen Bob Sports, 68th Street and 131. Barbecue Bob and I are going to be putting a little feed bag on. So we look forward to seeing you there. And we'll be on the radio as well. So.
Good deal. I need to buy a new rod.
There you go. All right. Hey, Chaz, thanks again for making time, brother, and we'll all talk with you next week.